Okay, so here we are. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Today we're going to learn that God is asking us in our relationship with God to be like a child. If you want a relationship with God, I will be very dogmatic and bold this morning and tell you, you must be like a child. If you want power in your prayer life, you must be like a child. Okay? And it's so very clear in God's Word. And so let's hear the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. Maybe this is the problem you've been having in prayer. We talked about how prayer for sometimes some people can be hard last Sunday. And throughout this year, we're going to learn about how to have a powerful prayer life, how to have a powerful prayer praying church. And maybe the problem is that we have not become like a child. And so this could bring brand new insight maybe into your prayer life, into your relationship with God, to become a child of your Father. So please stand with me as we read Matthew 18, beginning with verse number 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Father, I pray you would help us. We come to you as children, to the loving arms of the Heavenly Father. I pray you'd help us to see you as that loving Father this morning. If there's someone in this room that doesn't know you, they do not have a relationship with you, I pray that this would be the morning where they would take that step of faith and trust you like a child trusts a father. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you are in a life group, hopefully you are reading the book Praying Life by Paul Miller. And this coming week, as a life group, you can look at chapters 3 through 5, by the way. It might help you in your discussion. There's also some discussion questions that are available for the life groups. There are times for adults, not quite on that slide yet, there are times for adults where it's okay to behave like kids, okay? When it was snowing on Christmas Day, I got out there and threw snowballs at my grandkids. It's so much fun. But my son-in-law, Ryan, bent the rules a little bit. He got up on the balcony and threw them down at everybody. That wasn't very good, but there's times for you to play video games with your grandkids or your kids. There's times to tease and laugh and relax and have fun. It's okay to act like a kid sometimes. Sometimes it's not good to act like a kid. When you're arguing or competing like kids, or you're jealous like little kids on a playground, and you're not playing very well together. And so sometimes it's good to act like a kid, and sometimes maybe we need to grow up. Now, one of the most common terms for Christ followers and for God's people is the word children. You find the word children of promise, children of the day, children of the light, beloved children, dear children, children of God. So for you to have a relationship with God, you need to understand he wants you to come to him like a child would come to a father. And he wants you to relate to him like a child would relate to a father. So let's dig a little deeper and find out what that looks like. First of all, you need to come to him. You need to come to him as a child. And this is what it looks like. With humility. With humility. So if you're not coming to God with humility, you do not understand what he's requiring. It says in verse 1, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So here's the kind of the question. Okay. And all of us want to find out where we stand. We want to be in that place where we're going to receive approval. We want to be there where God's going to give us the points that we think we deserve or whatever. And in fact, in another gospel, Luke 9:46, it said that the disciples at this time were actually arguing, just like little kids. They were arguing, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They were assuming that Jesus would put his arm around Peter or put his arm around James or John and say, everybody, watch. The kingdom of heaven is like Peter or James or like John. I think that's what the disciples were. They asked Jesus to intervene in their argument. And I really believe that they thought Jesus would pull them to the front and say, like him. That's what I believe they were thinking. But this is what he does, verse 2. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a couple of key things I see in this verse. In fact, in Mark 9:36, which is a parallel passage, it tells us that Jesus not just put the child in his midst, but actually picked the child up and was holding the child in his arms. And he said, now these are the people that are arguing about who's the greatest. Unless you turn, in other words, there needs to be a transformation, and become like children, you will never, not just maybe or might, but you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There needs to be a transformation in your life where you become like a child. What does that look like? It looks like somebody who's humble. Now, I'm not saying every child is humble. When little Mikey returned from his first day of kindergarten, he said this to his mom after she asked, did you have a good day? I'm not going back. Why not? First day of kindergarten. I can't read. I can't write. And they won't let me talk. So what's the use? So I'm not saying that I don't think Jesus is saying every kid is this perfect little humble angel. But generally speaking, a child knows they have great need. So in John 1:12, this is what Jesus says. If you want to be a Christ follower, to all who did receive him, that's to receive Christ, who believes in his name, that's to fully surrender to Jesus, trust in his promises, he gives the right to become children of God. So here's the entrance point to the kingdom of heaven. You can have an opportunity to become a member of God's family. You can become a child of God. And this is how you do it. You need to humble yourself and receive Christ. Now, not everyone on this planet is automatically in God's family or in God's kingdom. You need to make a choice. You need to decide, are you going to humble yourself and come to God and say, God, I need you. In fact, it clarifies in Matthew 18, verse 4, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So now we see the key of what Jesus is focusing on. He's not focusing on how cute the child is or how sweet. He's focusing on this quality called humility. Now, what does that mean? It means without pretense or pretending, without pride or self-focus, without trying to impress or wearing a mask, without demanding to enter as a right. A child has this idea of not pretending, which is so important when you come to God. You don't try to put on airs or put on a mask of spirituality. You just come as you are. In the book that you're reading, A Praying Life, the author has a special needs child named Kim that she is not able to speak. And so she uses sign language. She can hear, but she's not able to speak. So she uses sign language or she uses a computer that will communicate for her. And she was in church one day, this special needs child. And the special music was that particular morning was a female opera singer that was singing opera, a Christian song, I'm sure. And this female opera singer was friends of the family. And so after the service, little Kim is sitting there and this opera singer came up to the family and she saw Kim make some sign language. And so she asked the family, well, what did Kim think of my singing? And the mom gulped because in the book it says that what Kim had signed was, "This is dumb." So now the mom has this, you know, moment of transparency. Do I tell this opera singer what she really said, or do I make up some story, you know? And she decided to tell the truth. And so she said, "Well, you asked. This is what Kim said. It's dumb, you know." And isn't that how kids are? Kids are just so real. Christianity is the real you meeting the real God. Okay, so you've got to figure out, are you ready to come to God just as you are? According to John MacArthur Jr., a child is simple, dependent, helpless, unpretentious, and that's for most children, unassuming, trusting, without ambition for grandeur. In other words, a child comes and the expectation is that relationship, not this huge master plan of how they're going to get what they want. Now, some kids can scheme, but this is the humility Jesus is focusing on. Steve Meeks, in his book Incarnational Christianity, said this: "The Christ-like community readily acknowledges its littleness and its nothingness without God, but it is also aware of its greatness with God, humble but courageous, dependent but fearless." So when you talk about coming to God with humility, it's not like putting yourself down and saying, "Oh, I'm a terrible, terrible person," and oh me, oh my. It's saying, "God, I know without you I can do nothing." And you come, and then God gives you great confidence. Matthew 19, verse 13 says, "Then children were brought to him," that's Jesus, "that he might lay hands on them and pray." Now watch this. This is what happens many times. The disciples rebuke the people. See, now this is the problem we have. Sometimes we do not value what God values. And here's an illustration where Jesus is valuing the little children coming to him. And the disciples, in their thought process, was saying, God has bigger things to do than to hang out with little kids. Some of you might have thought about that. When we've added the story for children into our church service this last summer, some of you maybe have thought this is a waste of time. And I'd have to tell you what Jesus said to his disciples. He rebuked them.
Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Because if you don't have time for little children, you are not on God's page. Okay. Now, so children in the first century were not considered the focus. Now, in our culture, actually, children are very much of a focus so often. In the first century, if there was an inheritance to be given, if you were under 12, you did not qualify. You were dedicated as a baby in the temple. There was circumcision. At age 12, you would have a ceremony where you were tested by the rabbis to see if you were ready for adulthood. But before the age of 12, you were not considered really of much value. So the disciples rebuke the people. "Don't bring children to Jesus. He's got more important things to do." Verse 14, but, I love the, it's a great Bible study. If you go through the New Testament, just circle all the words "but," you know. But, okay, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Now watch this, "for to such," you might underline that in your Bible, "to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." So if you want to look at what heaven looks like and what the kingdom of heaven looks like, even on this earth, what you're going to see are people who are willing to come to Christ like a child. Now, this is not talking about their age. We have to be a certain age to qualify for heaven. It's talking about their humility. Okay. So in John Townsend and Henry Cloud's book, How People Grow, this is what they say. "Coming to the end of ourselves reduces us to a childlike state of need and helplessness. Children, by nature, are relationally oriented. When in trouble or pain, they reach out for a protective, comforting parent. They don't say, 'I'll be strong and ride this one out.' They cry out for help."
Yes, praise
the first step in a relationship with God is to humble yourself and to cry out for help and say, "God, I need you. Help me." It's also the first step in a powerful prayer life to come to God with humility. Maybe you're struggling with that. And so you say, "God, help me. Help me to be willing to humble myself before you." Now, the second part that Christ asks us to do is to trust with full surrender. So a child, when they come to the father that they trust, they are going to surrender. Now watch what happens in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I will tell you, now here's Jesus talking, ask, it's in the present tense command form, which means ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek, the present tense command, and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock, keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. Okay, so this is what Jesus wants as he describes a prayer life with God. He says this is what God wants. He wants you to ask and to seek and to knock. Now watch this, verse 10. For everyone, that there's no exclusion here. Everyone, now, who comes to God in this way, who asks, who seeks, who knocks, what you're doing is you're coming to God. You're saying, God, I can't handle this right now. I cannot deal with this. I know I desperately need you. So I come to you and I am going to ask. Asking involves trusting. You're trusting him. You believe he has the answer to your problem, your struggle. You're going to seek. That means you're going to persevere with effort. Nothing's going to get in the way. And you're going to knock, which means I am going to specifically come to you. I am coming to you. You're not just walking by his house. You're not just hoping to have a conversation. You're going to go up to the door and you're going to say, I want a relationship with you. I want to talk to you. I know you are the one that has the answer to my life. Now, Oswald Chambers said this, beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence. So, well, I'm not going to go to that door. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to trust. I can handle this. Children ask. They ask for anything, anytime, always. I don't know if you have any kids or grandkids that are like this. I have a couple of them. I have 6 grandkids, and there's a couple of them that are so persistent. Grandpa, 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 grandpa. And you ask, you hear them asking, and you can put it off. You can ignore them. You can even answer them. But they're not going to stop asking because they are going to keep asking until they wear you down. And then finally you say yes. Isn't that how kids work? Right. If it doesn't come this way, they'll come this way, come this way, come this way. And it's hard to, you know, I eat a low-carb chocolate bar because it tastes good and it sounds like I'm on a diet when I'm eating it. And just go with me on this, okay? So in the freezer, we have all kinds of ice cream choices and all kinds of choices, but my granddaughter, age 3, Naya, she wanted my low-carb ice cream bar. So she asked all the adults, and they had no clue what she really wanted, and they didn't think she would want that, and they offered all kinds. And so she just finally says, no. She goes to the freezer, grabs my box, takes it to Grandpa, and she said, this is what I want. I said, why would you want this? This is for dieters, you know. And she just was so persistent that she just wore us all down. Finally, I gave her one of my low-carb bars. And she lost 10 pounds. It was great. No. I'm kidding. You know, and we laugh and we think, well, that's how kids are. You know what? Jesus wants us to act like that with him. That we bring our requests to him and we talk to him about everything. And we ask and we seek and we knock. And guess what? Here's the promise. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks will be open. Now, be careful here. He's not saying you're going to get everything you want. But here's the illustration I shared with the children. Verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Do you think that God is that kind of a dad? That you pray and he just loves to trick you. He loves to put a practical joke on you. I want to tell you, with God, there are no tricks. There's no practical jokes. There's no bait and switch. There's no false promises. God is a loving father who wants to give good gifts to his children. If you ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And by the way, Pastor Jeff loves my wife and I, and he was not trying to be mean. I think he just thought it would be funny. And so when he put that live scorpion on my wife's keyboard, you know, I know Jeff wasn't trying to hurt my wife. And it was probably funny as my wife realized at first that she thought it was a rubber scorpion and said, "Jeff, you can't fool me." And my wife grabbed the scorpion and started playing with it. And then she realized after Jeff told her, "Anita, this is real," that she began to scream and throws it down. And so I know that Jeff loves my wife very much. And so, David Martin Lloyd-Jones said this: "The father likes the child to keep on coming because he likes the personal contact. So God desires us to come into his presence. We must know that God is much more ready to give than we are to receive. Shame on us for being paupers when we were meant to be princes. Shame on us for so often harboring unworthy, wrong thoughts of God in this matter. God loves us, and he cares for us, and he wants us to come to him and trust in him." Verse 13, "If you then who are evil..." Now, he's just saying basically, you know, all the dads, though they try their best, they're going to always fall short somehow. Even a dad that falls short knows how to give good gifts to their children. A good gift is something that's beneficial or helpful or meets a need.
Yes, praise the Lord.
"How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, now, when you read that verse, you think, wait a second. We're talking about eggs and fish, and now he throws in the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with my prayer life? I come to God with a request, and he says, "The Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." You go, wait a second. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with my prayer life? I need God to do this. I need God to do this. I need God to do this. And Jesus says, "Fine, I'll give you the Holy Spirit."
Yeah, praise
God. Now, watch this. God's best gift to his children is the Holy Spirit. You are praying over something, and God says the answer is the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe he answers every request that you have with the same answer. "I'll give you my Holy Spirit." He'll give you a new heart when you come to him with full surrender, and the Holy Spirit will cleanse your heart. The Holy Spirit will renew your mind. The Holy Spirit will give you a fresh start and fresh direction. The Holy Spirit will fill you with his fruit. The Holy Spirit will remind you that you are part of the family of God. In fact, it says in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So you're going, "Well, wait a second, Pastor Bill, I don't understand how this works." And I'll say, "Okay, give me an illustration of a prayer request. You had this last week. Okay, so you had problems with your boss. And the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to have the perspective that you need. Will give you the fruit of the Spirit so you'll have gentleness and patience and kindness and you'll have the ability of wisdom. The Holy Spirit will open up truth from his word that'll give you a foundation of what really matters in life and give you the words to say when you're having a difficult conversation. The answer to every request you have is the Holy Spirit."
Praise the Lord.
You go, "Well, I don't know how this works." Well, isn't this an amazing gift? Because the Holy Spirit is God himself. So my wife's going to go on a trip to go check on her sister down in L.A. And so they're going to drive all over L.A. So I can say, okay, if she asks me, "Well, I don't know where to get to such and such," I can give her a map. I can give her GPS. Or I can just know that her sister will help her find their way. And you call out to God and you say, "God, I need help. Okay, I'll give you myself to walk with you through that." The religion of Jesus Christ is a supernatural religion from start to finish. And we should live our lives in supernatural power, the power of God through Jesus Christ. And we should perform our service with supernatural power, the power of God ministered by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. R.A. Torrey said that. David Martin Lloyd-Jones also said this, "It means that when I pray, I know that God is my Father, that He delights to bless me, that He is much more ready to give than I am to receive, and that He is always concerned about my welfare. I must get rid of this thought that God is standing between me and my desires and that which is best for me. I must see God as my Father who has purchased my ultimate good in Christ and is waiting to bless me with His own fullness in Christ Jesus." I was reading in my quiet time this week about how the problem that Moses had with the children of Israel. And finally, you know, they made a calf of gold and they were worshiping this calf of gold. And Moses comes down and there's consequences for their wrong choice. And God said this, "I will still get you to the promised land, but I'm not going with you anymore. I'll fulfill my promise, but I'm not going with you anymore." And then Moses said this, "If you don't go with me, I'm not going anywhere. I need your presence with me. If you're not going to be with me, I don't want to go."
Yes, yes, praise God.
So we lay all of our problems before God and we say, "God, help me." And God says, "I love you and I will go with you through that. I'll give you the Holy Spirit who will never leave you and will comfort you and partner with you and empower you and equip you and fill you and teach you and lead you and encourage you and fill you with my joy and fill you with my peace and fill you with my hope." The third thing that we learn about prayer is we need to receive Him as a child. And what this looks like is with anticipation. Now, anticipation of a child. Let's remember those days as they were leading up to Christmas and how excited children are for Christmas to come. And Mark 10:14 says, when Jesus saw it, now what he saw was the disciples rebuking people for bringing children to him. He was indignant and said to them, the word indignant means pained or angry or deeply displeased. "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such," remember that phrase again, "belongs the kingdom of God." Okay, so if I'm going to enter the kingdom of heaven, I need to enter the kingdom of heaven with the same kind of anticipation that a child does. So here's a question. Are you in the kingdom of heaven right now? Are you in God's kingdom right now? You've had to recognize you had a childlike need, childlike acceptance, childlike enthusiasm, childlike passion. And if you do, the Lord welcomes you. Verse 15, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So here's the definition of receive: to fully welcome as a friend, to accept, to embrace, to be identified with. You need to come to God and say, "God, I am going to receive your kingdom. I'm going to receive you as the Lord of this kingdom. I'm going to receive you like a child would receive a gift. I'm going to fully accept it and welcome it and embrace it and be excited about it and not hesitate." Matthew 21:16, "Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise." Not bound by what people think, without reservation, everybody else was hesitating on praising Jesus, and then the children are praising Jesus. Because they're not concerned about what other people think. There are some people in this room that have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ because you're too worried about what people are going to think. You're too worried about what people will say about you. A child doesn't care what people... When I ask the kids questions in the story for children, actually it's one of my nervous points, because they don't care what people hear.
They don't care, praise the Lord.
They just say what they're thinking.
That's right.
A group of kids were asked, "What is love?" "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other." That's what it's all about. I never knew that. But I love this one. "Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day." I mean, they just say it the way it is. Number four, you need to listen. You know, by the way, prayer is a lot of listening. You need to listen to your Father with openness. You need to understand that you have to open your heart and open your ears. You need to say, God, teach me, show me. In Luke 10, verse 21, it says, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's Jesus. Because you know what? He's relying on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is helping him as he's talking to his Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is the Father's answer to his struggles. The Son of God is rejoicing in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father. Prayer is talking to his Father, just like prayer is talking to our Father. Lord of heaven and earth, by the way, God is supreme, sovereign of the universe, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. In other words, God's wisdom and God's agenda, God's perspective is not available to the proud. It's not available to the self-reliant. If you are the kind of person that says, I'm going to do it my way and God better be happy with it, guess what? God will not show you his path. He will not show you his plan for your life because he doesn't talk. He doesn't guide the proud heart. What he does is he reveals them to the little children. Someone said this about intimate relationship with another person. You don't create intimacy, you make room for it. That's found in that Praying Life book. In other words, you don't look into your eyes of your wife and say, let's create intimacy. What you do is you take away all the distractions, all the things that would hurt the intimacy, and you clarify the focus on her heart and her life. You made room so that then intimacy can happen. The same thing is true in your relationship with God. You come to God like a little child. You're open to learn. You're hungry for his time. You need his help. You know you can't do it alone. You are coming dependent. And so then Jesus says, Father, for such was your gracious will. So God loves to share with us. And he wants to help us. And he wants us to come to him as a child. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to give us good gifts. But we must come to him with complete dependence. Did you know that Jesus, the Son of God, was absolutely dependent on his Father? John 5:19, I can do nothing without my Father. John 5:30, I can say nothing without my Father. John 12:49, I can give nothing but what my Father has given to me. In fact, Paul Miller in his book said this, Jesus was the most dependent human that ever lived.
Yes.
You think, well, wait a second, Jesus was perfect? You know, yeah, he was 100% God. But in his humanity, he had made a decision. I will not do one thing without the Father's direction.
Praise God.
If Jesus lived his life that way, where he had lots of capabilities, but he chooses to fully depend on his Father, then what are we doing? Thinking we can do anything without completely depending on our Heavenly Father.
Lord, thank you.
So it is time for us to say, Lord, help us. Help us to come to you like a child comes to a father. And if there is some ego thing going on, there's some issues going on, and I'm still grabbing on to control of certain things in my life, and I'm not coming to you like a child, Lord God, would you show that to me? Would you reveal them? It says he'll reveal things to us. Would you show us what humility really looks like? I loved what somebody sent on the internet. Dear God, here's a prayer. Please untie the knots that are in my mind and my heart and my life. Remove the have-nots and the can-nots and the do-nots that I have in my mind. Erase the will-nots and the may-nots and the might-nots that may find home in my heart. Release me from the could-nots and would-nots and should-nots that obstruct my life. And most of all, dear God, I ask you to remove from my mind, my heart, and my life all of the am-nots that I have allowed to hold me back. Amen. And last Sunday, in the story for kids, I was in the middle of a presentation of spiritual truth. And the little boy sitting next to me, I don't know if you caught what happened. He said, Pastor Phil, yes, could you tie my shoe for me? Don't you know I'm talking to people right now about the Bible? I got the Bible and I'm going to do a Bible talk. Of course I will.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And the child doesn't think about what other people are doing, what other people are thinking, what other people are going to think of them. A child just says, I have this need. Could you help me? And as this church wants to find power in prayer, we've got to come to that simple childlike faith. Say, God, we're going to come to you with an anticipation, with an enthusiasm, with open hearts and open minds, with humility, with absolute dependence. And we know that you're going to work powerfully in our midst as we come to you. And the Bible says he loves to give good gifts. Lord God, help us in this moment. There are some in this room that see you, God, as far away and distant, or maybe see you as an angry God, or maybe they see you as someone that doesn't care about them. And I believe, Lord God, that these are lies from the enemy. I believe right now in this room, your Holy Spirit can work powerfully in our lives. There's someone in this room, Lord, that needs to come and knock on that door and ask for forgiveness and salvation. Lord, help them to take that step of faith this morning.